I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, and welcome to the Dirtbag Baseball Talk Show here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network, Dirtbag Nation. Great to be back with you for another week. Hopefully you've had a dirty week wherever you are out there in the world. And as a player, a coach, parent, fan of this great game, just hopefully it's been a great week for you and exciting. I'm sure there's a lot of football fans out there too, so definitely last weekend's football matchups were a lot better than the previous week, in my opinion anyways. So if you are a fan, hopefully you had a great week on that as well. So tonight's episode, we're excited about it. You know what? We're going to be giving our thoughts and opinions, share them with you on, of course, the three latest inductees to the MLB Hall of Fame, passing along our thoughts, and certainly on a couple that didn't make it in at the end of the day as well. So we'll be sharing that, obviously giving you some updates on some of the latest free agent signings, some minor moves here and there, and then we'll be answering the curtain call questions as always. So thanks for sending them in to us, and greatly appreciated it as always. So before we get there, as you know, we do want to give our shout out to our friends over at the Rip Grip Pro. That's the hitting training aid by Tress Sullivan and his team. You can find out more about that at ripgrippro.com. Give them a check. Give them a look. Follow them on Instagram at Rip Grip Pro. Definitely, as always, if you want to talk to me personally about it, how it can help with your hitting training program, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Dirtbag Baseball Nation. And or email me directly, Kirk@dirtbagbaseballnation.com, and we're certainly happy to talk about them all day, every day. As always, also our favorite throwing training aid, the Rope Trainer. You can find out all about it right on our website at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. People that have been getting them lately and that. Thank you for believing in yourself. Thank you for believing in your players as a coach, if you are, or your son or daughter. Definitely a training aid that should be in your bag, just like your helmet, your cleats, your gloves. Everything else that goes with it. It's just, you've heard us say it repetitively, and it's true. We've been using it since 2017, and strong believers in the product and the training aid and how it can help you as a thrower, a pitcher, a player in general. So stay healthy, get that arm working right, get your body working right, and so much more. So like I said at the top, again, we're going to be right back here. We're going to be talking about latest inductees into the Hall of Fame, latest signings, and the curtain call questions. So thanks for being with us, Dirtbags. Love it. Appreciate it. Can't do it without you. We'll be right back here in a second to get after it.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The new year is a great time to have a conversation with your teen about building positive online habits. Visit Meta's Family Center to see the many tools that exist to help teens and families manage their time online. The site includes expert-backed guidance to support teens in having positive online experiences and tips for parents and caregivers. Some of the tools include a full-screen reminder after teens have spent a few minutes on Instagram Reels late at night, and notifications to look at something different if they've been scrolling the same topic for a while. And Quiet Mode gives teens more ways to focus and set boundaries with friends and family. Parents can set time limits for their child and be notified when their teen reports or blocks someone. There are also supervision tools that give visibility into how much time their teen spends on Instagram, Facebook, and in virtual reality. For more information, visit familycenter.meta.com. Sponsored by Meta.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
Staples and HP want you to have a happy holla deal. That's right, holla deal. Now, during Staples holla deals, you can save up to $115 on the HP Smart Tank 6001 all-in-one printer with up to 2 years of original HP ink right in the box. Plus, find savings of up to 40% on select HP computers and monitors. Happy holla deals from Staples and HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Smart Tank offer ends 12/23. HP Tech offers end 1/6/24. Visit staples.com/HP for details.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, where do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, obviously, just at the Hall of Fame vote. Let's kick off with that. So, I mean, you get, I don't know. I love it. Don't get me wrong. Love the Hall of Fame vote. I was really hoping for five guys to get in. Obviously, I was really hoping Billy Wagner and Gary Sheffield were going to get in. Talked highly about them last week. Still can't believe Sheffield's off of the ballot already. I mean, I can't really say already, but I think he's one of those guys when the contemporaries come around. I hope he gets in. Obviously, he has the PED background and everything like that. But to hell with that, man. You guys have all heard me talk repeatedly about this. There's guys like what did I hear yesterday? They were talking about it and they were saying about the integrity being a part of the Hall of Fame candidacy and everything like that. And then you get Hall of Fame voters that don't even have the integrity to say, hey, listen, Sheffield, I know it's his 10th year on the ballot, but there's always next year to vote for him in. So that's where I find it very hypocritical in that stuff. I think Sheffield should have been in. I think obviously Billy Wagner should have been in. But hey, kudos to the three guys that did get voted in. Joe Mauer obviously gets in by four votes. And then you get obviously you have Adrian Beltre, who I mean 95%. He was the highest out of the three. And then Todd Helton, the 17-year vet of the Colorado Rockies, obviously becomes the first full-time Colorado Rocky player. Second Colorado Rocky player behind Larry Walker, obviously, to be inducted into Cooperstown.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to all three of them. Definitely Adrian and Joe Mauer, obviously being first time on the ballot, getting in. Todd Helton, we saw it coming, or I can't say saw it coming because there's never a guarantee, as we know, getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame, but certainly felt it coming or going in the right direction. And for me personally or whatever, and that, I think it's deserved. There's no question about it. Take out the Colorado factor, the thin air, everything else. The guy was a great, great player. He was a great professional. He just went and did it, you know. Right after it happened, Nolan and I were talking about it. So you go back to University of Tennessee where he was quarterback before Peyton Manning. Manning replaces him, goes on to obviously his career, his legacy on the football side of things. Helton continues on as a baseball player, and now he's into his own Hall of Fame. That's a great story. I mean, you got to be loving life if you're in Tennessee and a volunteer. So Joe Mauer, interesting. We're going to talk about it. Adrian Beltre, there's not much to talk about. You know, it was interesting. Tom Verducci talked about it afterwards on MLB and just said, you know, it's interesting how you can get to the Hall of Fame, how it changes, how it works. He was 31 before he really turned on and became a next level player, a Hall of Fame player, I guess, so to speak. But I was talking with guys today, even Nolan, and, you know, well, you kind of wonder, you know, usually they've got it past 30 and guys are declining and he's excelling and going into the Hall of Fame. Geez, do you think there's anybody out there that thinks there might have been PEDs there with him? Now, obviously, there was never anything ever discussed with it, right? And he's a massive, big dude. He's just a baller.
Yeah, but it's not like
interesting
his body,
how we think nowadays.
Yeah, his body type never really changed or anything like that. So, I mean, for them to say, hey, he was using PEDs and everything like that, I mean, obviously, purely speculation. He never failed the test or anything. I think that that's a bogus thing for anybody to say. But, I mean, hey, crazier things have happened. Obviously, you get a guy like D. Strange Gordon, who obviously took steroids back in the day, and he had his suspension. And that's a guy that I don't think anybody would ever sit there and say, hey, he was a steroid user because he's a big masher and everything like that. But I mean, hey, Adrian Beltre, he had a heck of a career. I don't think that there was any debate on whether he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Same as next year when Ichiro is on the ballot. I think he's going to be the only guy that gets in on his first ballot year. Obviously, you get CC Sabathia joining next year's class as well. He's going to be an interesting case to see whether he'll be a first ballot or not. I think he's going to be right around that 75 mark. I don't know necessarily one way or the other if he's going to get in for sure next year. But I think eventually down the road, CC Sabathia is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now. Obviously, like we said, Billy Wagner falls five votes short. That one, to me, was a tough pill to swallow, obviously. Hey, especially in today's day and age, when you're looking at the relievers and how important they are in today's day. Now, I get that back in the day, a lot of pitchers used to be able to go the distance and everything like that, and starting pitchers were, I'd say, more common throwing, obviously, less velocity. But at the same time, they were also going seven innings, eight innings, where all of a sudden Billy Wagner comes in. And I mean, Billy Wagner, in terms of pitchers that have pitched over 900 plus innings in their career, he ranked first or second in a lot of statistical categories for ERA, K per nine. Obviously, one of the best left-handed relievers of all time, if not the best left-handed reliever of all time. He's a guy, yeah, like I said, I mean, he should be in. Obviously, next year will be his last year on the ballot. I hope he gets in. Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, they're two guys that I want to talk about. Obviously, heavily PED scrutinized throughout their career and everything like that. Two guys that are very deserving of both being in the Hall of Fame. They're both sitting in the mid-30s. Obviously, you have Omar Vizquel with his history of obviously everybody kind of knows it with the woman abuse and everything like that that he had. He's a guy that eventually, after his 10 years, he'll be off the ballot. I can't see him getting in with a contemporary vote or anything like that. But, I mean, yeah, you're looking at it. There's a bunch of guys. Carlos Beltran, obviously, he's another one that, pure statistics alone, obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, but he had the Houston Astros cheating scandal, which unfortunately derailed his Hall of Fame career, I think. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. But, I mean, he's only his second year on the ballot. He obviously has eight more years. I don't know if he'll ever get into the Hall of Fame or not. But I think guys like that, that realistically, if you know that they're not going to be voted into the Hall of Fame, I think that they should just be off the ballot.
Yeah, let's go back and start at the top with this. In the fact that I just want to remind all the dirtbags out there and stuff like that, that the Baseball Hall of Fame is very unique. And what's unique compared to the other sports, and we forget about this from time to time, is that it gets associated with MLB. But it is a separate entity. It is a separate beast altogether and stuff like that. So it's not voted in by the MLB per se. So there comes so many variables, Nolan, in what we're talking about, and so much scrutiny. You know, let's go ahead and look at Joe Mauer. So you and I talked about it afterwards. He gets in on the first ballot, four votes over. Well, if he got in on the first ballot, and I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. He is, obviously, now, but yes, you hear the responses. Well, he played in one team, Minnesota, his whole career, three batting titles. He had numbers that were good enough for that, but he played 10 seasons at the dish. So what happens in 5 years when Yadier Molina is up then, when he's on the first ballot? If Mauer got in with four votes over, a guy like Yadier Molina, to me, he's got to be in that Adrian Beltre and those top echelon guys. He's got to be at that 95% when it's his time to come in.
Well, it's the same as Buster Posey to me, too.
Yeah.
Like Posey, obviously, he's what, 3 years away from his Hall of Fame? Yadi's 4 years away from his Hall of Fame, I think. And like those guys to me, obviously, if Joe Mauer's getting in on his first ballot, having played more or less half of his time at catcher and the other half between first base and DH due to concussions and everything like that that he sustained. Obviously, the Minnesota boy plays for his home team. That all plays into the effect. Obviously, he was great with the reporters, great with everything else. So he kept everybody happy. I'm not sitting here trying to say one way or the other now, obviously, that he's in the Hall of Fame, whether he should be a Hall of Famer or not. To me, like you said, like you get a Yadier Molina, you get a Buster Posey, guys that, in my opinion, were better than him defensively behind the dish because they did it for longer periods of time. Like, I get that Joe Mauer defensively was a heck of a catcher, especially for his size. But at the same time, he didn't have that prolonged career behind the dish to the point where Yadier Molina did it for 20 years behind the dish or 19 years. And then Buster Posey did it for, what, 14 years and only had, I think, like 10 pass balls or something crazy. I can't remember exactly what the stat was off the top of my head, but it was some ridiculously low amount of pass balls. Like at the upper end, I know it was 25. It was between 10 and 25, somewhere in that range. And you're looking at it and you're like, well, when these guys come up, man, they got to be over Joe Mauer, in my opinion. Like, I get that they weren't necessarily the same offensive juggernaut that Joe Mauer was in terms of batting average and everything like that. But in terms of impact that they had on the game, man, they're right up there with some of those guys like an Adrian Beltre and everything.
Yeah, they have to be. There's no question about it. And I also, after the break, I want to keep talking about this because we talked about it last night, and there's Joe Mauer. But we got Chase Utley on the other end of it, and he got about 28.8% or whatever in his first ballot. So I want to compare those things because Chase was right up there as a second baseman overall. So we'll be right back here, Dirtbags, after this break, and we're just going to keep talking about our thoughts about it with him.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently? And now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. And before the break, of course, we were talking about Joe Mauer and Chase Utley also being first time on the ballot and stuff. You know, after it comes out, everybody's like, wow, that's a pretty good first ballot for Utley and that. And that's off to a good start. And he'll probably get there one day. But, you know, we were breaking it down. How's he not as good in the second base categories? Plus, he's got a World Series as Mauer in the catcher category. Like, I don't know.
Well,
he's got to have more. I don't know if Chase Utley goes in on the first ballot. Obviously, he didn't. But he's got to be higher than 28.8% or whatever it was he got.
Yeah, like if Mauer's getting in on his first ballot, I think Chase Utley should have been up. Not necessarily in the first ballot.
50%, I would say.
But yeah, like, I mean, to me, and I think the only thing that hurts Chase Utley is Jeff Kent. Like, you're looking at Jeff Kent. Jeff Kent was a better offensive second baseman than Chase Utley. No two ways about it. Jeff Kent was one of the best.
One of the best all time.
Yeah, like just purely offensively, Jeff Kent, I mean, he ranks statistically amongst the top five in second base in majority of offensive categories, right? Like that guy was phenomenal offensive second baseman. Defensively, he was subpar, no two ways about it, but he held his own. So that's kind of the thing where I'm looking at it and I'm like, is this what people were taking into account when voting for Chase Utley was the fact that Jeff Kent is no longer on the ballot? So how do we not vote in Jeff Kent, but then turn around and vote in Chase Utley?
Good call.
Like, that's the only thing that I can think of. Because, yeah, like, I'm looking at Chase Utley's numbers, and I'm like, 28.8%, just to me, it seems way too low in the fact that he was a hell of a second baseman, man. Like, Chase Utley, for majority of my youth growing up, because I saw him throughout basically the entirety of his career, playing with Philadelphia Phillies, and then obviously finishing up with the Los Angeles Dodgers and everything like that, that obviously he ended, I'm drawing a blank on the second baseman's name on the Pittsburgh Pirates at the time when he slid into second base and tore his ACL. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, what is the viewpoint for voters to vote in certain guys compared to other guys when career-wise they're more or less the same player? Like Chase Utley, obviously you think of him as a Philadelphia Philly. As his number, I believe his number's retired by the Philadelphia Phillies, if I'm not mistaken. He was just a hell of a player, man, to me. And like I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, so Chase Utley's 28.8%. Yes, that's obviously higher than some guys that are in the Hall of Fame right now on their first ballot. Like case in point of Scott Rowland. Like a guy like that, Scott Rowland, I think was mid-teens when he first was on the ballot and then obviously got into the Hall of Fame there 2 years ago. But now I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, like Chase Utley, dude, I don't know what he's going to end up being. Obviously, I think he's got a legitimate case for being a Hall of Famer now that a Joe Mauer is into the Hall of Fame. Because I don't think a Joe Mauer is a Hall of Famer. Personally, that's just my opinion. But I'm looking at it, and if he's in the Hall of Fame, I want to hear some of these writers' responses for why they don't believe Chase Utley should be a Hall of Famer, but Joe Mauer should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it goes right back to what you were saying off the top of scrutiny, right? And so let's be honest. I mean, all the writers, they don't really get scrutinized on their decision making because there's really there's not in-depth follow-up on it. And so it's not just a Chase Utley. It's we were talking about it and look at you know, there's other players. So you can go to Barry Bonds and you can go to Roger Clemens, two of the very, very, very best. Obviously, it's easy to stand behind the PED comments, and that's the scapegoat. But let's be honest. Those guys were miserable, ornery guys because they were elite in their mind. They had the top of the top egos that are necessary in professional sports to have, and they weren't always nice with the media. So there's not a chance that's not a huge also factor in not voting those guys in. Because it just has to. It just has to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So you made a good call. I'd love to be able to hear more information on why or why not. Obviously, those guys that are hands down, no questions, they're in the Hall of Fame. Those are easy decisions to make. And I realize it's easy for them, and everybody's said it in the sports writer world or whatever, and that they're part of the PED, so I'm not voting for them. That's an easy one to do. I get that. But there's a lot of personal things. If you're punching the numbers in the world that we live in with data, computers, stats, and all that type of stuff, you take out that human emotion factor, right? You take that out and it's gone. Computers don't feel that stuff. They either tell you you're either good enough or you're not. Simple as that, right? Am I wrong on that?
Nope. No, and here's my thing too, right? So obviously, everybody kind of knows my stance, PED or non-PED. Like, that was an entire era of baseball. And when you have every single pitcher that was there when Barry Bonds was a pitcher, or sorry, was a hitter in his era, when you have Roger Clemens, who was a pitcher in his era, and they're saying, hey, these guys are two of the greatest of all time. Like, every single pitcher, unanimously, you ask anybody, and you hear Hall of Fame pitchers saying, like, it was hilarious. When you see a Greg Maddux interview about Barry Bonds, he's like, Barry Bonds was the easiest hitter that I faced in baseball. And he's like, and the reason why he was the easiest hitter in baseball was because if no one was on base, I'd just throw him four straight balls. Like, I'd just pitch around the guy, and he'd get first base. Here you go. Thank you very much. Give him your free base. Not going to let up a solo home run. And you're just like, yeah, I can pitch to everybody else because I can get the outs. But he's like, Barry Bonds, I mean, man, that guy would step up, and he'd take you deep in a heartbeat. And it's like, these guys, man, they're the guys that save baseball. So I don't get what the voters have against the guys that took steroids. Like, I get that technically it's breaking the integrity of the sport, if you want to call it that. But at the same time, like I've always said, man, put an asterisk beside their name, create their own separate wing in the Hall of Fame, do whatever you got to do. But these dudes deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because that was the era of baseball that they played in, where everybody was juicing, and yet they just still happen to be the best of the best that were juicing. Like, there's legitimately guys that are in the Hall of Fame currently that had the same ties to PED that these other players do. Case in point, a David Ortiz, a Pudge Rodriguez. I'm drawing a blank because there was another guy I voted in a couple years ago as well that also had PED ties, but they never said definitively whether he took them or not. When the Mitchell report came out back in, what was that, 2003, 2004, something like that, in the early 2000s. And you're just like, guys, okay, we've set the standard here, but how do we waver on the standard for certain guys but not other guys? Like Alex Rodriguez, obviously, he's a guy that will never get into the Hall of Fame purely because Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens didn't get in.
Yeah,
but you're looking statistically at these guys, and you're looking statistically at Alex Rodriguez. Try and make a point to me that he's not one of the top four third basemen / shortstops all the time. In terms of his stats, in terms of what he did and everything like that, that dude was a legitimate masher. He was one of the greatest players of my generation.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, obviously, A-Rod, there's been documents promoted by it or whatever, and that he finally had to admit to doing it and stuff like that. And that was all spearheaded because Congress basically said, you got to have somebody. Like, this is, the people are not letting you off the hook, Bud Selig, like Rob Manfred. So Manfred was the man in charge at that time. Find somebody, find a big player, happened to be A-Rod, and they found him. That was all done with that. And so another one, again, Nolan, that we were talking about in this whole thing, Billy Wagner gets 73.8%. So you can't tell me that he didn't get in yesterday. Other than the fact, I have to believe this, that the MLB Hall of Fame, it's usually around three at the most that get in. Maybe a handful of times in history. I haven't looked it up, Dirtbags, to know for sure. But a handful of times, there's been maybe four or five inducted in the same year. First class ever, you know, was. But the writers, as they're going down their list and they're putting in who's in and who isn't in, are they going, okay, I've got Beltre, Helton, Maurer, I'll leave Wagner off. Or maybe they left Maurer off just because he was at 76.1% and they voted Wagner in to get him up to 73.8. But again, it's, oh, well, okay, who's going in next year? Well, it's really only Ichiro. Oh, no problem. How many years does Billy have left? Oh, he's still got a year left. Oh, all right, then I'll vote him in next year. Again, if you had the computer just doing it, you take out that emotion and you just sit there and say, sorry, Hall of Fame, that's to the criteria. That guy qualifies. He's in.
He's the greatest left-handed reliever of all time.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Like, you try and make an argument against what we're trying to say, please write in, give us your thoughts and everything like that.
Absolutely.
But I want to sit here and I want someone to try and convince me that Billy Wagner isn't the best left-handed reliever. of the past 35 years.
Yeah.
Because if you can make that argument to me and make it actually make sense that a guy that ranks statistically first or second place amongst relievers in majority of categories outside of saves, obviously, because that's Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman. I get that. But I'm just talking purely left-handed relievers. Like that dude, ERA, K per nine, whip, all the important stats that you need out of a reliever. That guy came in, threw 100 miles an hour back when no one was throwing 100 miles an hour, and especially from the left-handed side. And it's like, dude, like what are we talking about here? Why is this guy not in the Hall of Fame? Why was he not voted in a long time ago either? Like, I get the relievers are becoming more prevalent, but that dude, hey, this year he should have been in. Now, I get this year, yeah, there's three players and there's Jim Leland as well. So technically four guys going into the Hall of Fame all this year. But like you said, Kirk, yeah, like when was the last time that more than four players got voted into the Hall of Fame? Like, I don't know, outside of, like you said, like one of the earlier classes way back in the day, or like non-contemporary votes and everything like that. It's like, I don't know. Cause yeah, like you said, it seems like three just seems to be the magic number that, hey, this is the most that we can put in at one time.
Well, you said it right. I mean, Dirtbags, like Nolan said, right into us. Give us your thoughts and opinions on who got into the Hall of Fame, who you thought should have maybe got into the Hall of Fame, different trends and stuff like that, because we want to hear about it. At the end of the day, like I said, and Nolan said it too. The writers got to be scrutinized as well, because again, you always hear of how elite it is to get in, and it should be. Any Hall of Fame should be the elite of the elite. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But there's a lot of discrepancy on guys that miss out, and I guess that's why you got the Veterans Committee and other things like that too. So, Dirtbags, we'll be right back here in a second with the curtain call.
This report is sponsored by IBM. Oil and gas companies are constantly adapting to a rapidly changing landscape. IBM's Institute for Business Value surveyed 2,000 executives in 25 countries for the Digital Energy Company of the Future study. What they learned is that price volatility, aging infrastructure, and more are in a balancing act with increased customer expectations and disrupted ecosystems. Phil Spring, IBM Consulting Energy and Resources Leader.
For these companies, this is about transitioning to a future of low-carbon energy and products, but it is also about value and profit as well as purpose. So of the companies that we surveyed, what we refer to as visionary vanguards, they are taking transformative action. They're using digital technologies and data, and they're integrating sustainability into their investment cases to help transform to the digital energy company of the future.
If oil and gas companies stay focused on implementing data-based decision-making, embedding AI and automation in the business, and aligning sustainability goals with digital transformation, they will be on their way to becoming the digital energy companies of the future. To learn more, visit ibm.com/IBV.
Some people just know bundling with Allstate means big savings. Just like they know the right ingredient means big flavor. They know honey on pizza is where it's at. And olive oil on ice cream is the cherry on top. And they know when you bundle home and auto with Allstate, you can save up to 25%. Mm-mm.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Now, during Staples' Print Big Sale, get $20 off your print purchase of $100 or more, $50 off your print purchase of $200 or more, and $100 off your print purchase of $300 or more. So the more you print at Staples, the more you save. To demonstrate, print at Staples, you save. But if you print at Staples, you save. See how that works? Staples' Print Big Sale. Print more, save more. Up to $100. Ends 2/10. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
Hi, my name is Alani. A little thing I like about the Spicy Deluxe sandwich is that you taste the crunch, you taste the pepper jack cheese melting, and you taste the spicy flavors in the sandwich. I'm telling you, 10 out of 10.
Hi, my name's Enrique. A little thing I love about Chick-fil-A's Spicy Deluxe sandwich is you get that rich flavor of the chicken and definitely that nice, tangy, warm bite. It's the perfect harmony of spiciness and taste.
Order the Spicy Deluxe sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, time for the curtain call questions. So, right off the hop, Rhys Hoskins finally signing Milwaukee Brewers. 2 years. Thoughts?
Yeah, 2 year, $34 million. Obviously, the Milwaukee Brewers have been relatively slow with most of their major league signings this offseason. He's going to be an impactful bat as long as he comes back and he's healthy this year. Obviously, last year he tore the ACL, in spring training? I think that that's a fantastic signing by them. I love his addition to that lineup, especially with how youthful that lineup is for the most part. Gives him a righty pop stick. That's going to be a good signing, especially with how Milwaukee plays his bandbox. I think that it's a no-brainer, the 2 year, 34. It's not like he's breaking the bank by any stretch of the imagination, but that's a good contract by the Milwaukee Brewers, especially since they're still in contention with the NL Central being the way that it is. And the fact that, I mean, the Brewers last year, they won the NL Central. So it's not like they needed to make a heck of a lot of moves. Obviously, I'd love to see how they're going to replace a Brandon Woodruff this year. I'd love to see what they're going to do with Corbin Burnes. Now, that being said, I can't see them trading Corbin Burnes until closer to the deadline, even though I believe that they should if in theory they don't believe that they're in true contender mode. I believe that they should trade a Corbin Burnes with him having a full year before he becomes a free agent just to maximize some more of the value that he could get. But at the same time, they're going to wait until basically the trade deadline to make a move for him. But yeah, that Rhys Hoskins signing, I think that that's a no-brainer by them. Excellent move.
Josh Hader to the Astros last week. Does not top Edwin Diaz. Surprised by that or falls pretty much in line with where you would think?
To me, I think he should have beaten Edwin Diaz. That being said, obviously, the New York Mets had a ton of familiarity with Edwin Diaz. They knew what they were getting by re-signing him. Unfortunately, last year he had Achilles or an ACL? I can't remember. In the World Baseball Classic, I believe it was the ACL. And yeah, you're looking at it and you're like, okay, so that obviously washed all last year off of him. But the good thing was at least it didn't affect his arm. So it's not like he has to recover from that or anything like that. But Hader, I mean, Hader's been the top left-handed pitcher ever since he's come into baseball. Like, top left-handed relief pitcher, I mean, sorry. And you're looking at it, and you're like, man, this is a no-brainer. If I'm the Houston Astros, that's a legitimate back end of the bullpen between him, Ryan Presley, and, whoever else they want to run out there, honestly. Because, I mean, they still have good bullpen arms to begin with. But, yeah, that 8-9 punch of him and Presley, depending on how they want to set up that closer role, that's a no-brainer to me. Because, man, you know what you're getting out of Hader, and that's dominance.
No question about it, so for sure. Second half of the offseason, Pittsburgh Pirates pulling a little Kansas City Royals out of their hat. Aroldis Chapman, one-year signing.
Yeah, 1 year, $10.5 million to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I like that move. Obviously, it's not a long-term move. It's not like they are hamstrung by it in any way, shape, or form. Depending on what the Pittsburgh Pirates do, obviously, Charrington and the rest of the higher-ups, they all came forward last week and they said, hey, listen, we want to be in contention. This is our year to try and be in contention. It sounds like Paul Skeens is going to make the team probably out of spring training. If not, they're going to hold him back for a couple weeks just to do that stupid manipulation of the time services rules so then they can get another year out of him. But, I mean, he's going to be a guy right in contention for Rookie of the Year and everything like that. But signing Aroldis Chapman, man, that's a good move, especially to pair him with David Bednar at the back end of that bullpen. That's going to be a good 8-9 punch too.
Biggest team of the offseason, LA Dodgers. 1 year, James Paxton. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so this is a smart move by the Los Angeles Dodgers because they know, okay, hey, listen, Clayton Kershaw, eventually he'll come back. It sounds like he's probably going to be right around the trade deadline, all-star break, sometime around then by the time he's fully recovered and ready to go again. So you're signing James Paxton knowing damn well that that guy's not pitching past the all-star break because, well, quite frankly, when was the last time he pitched past the all-star break? Unless he started out the year injured. Then at that point, then he can come back and finish the year after the All-Star break. But he's not pitching a full season. James Paxton, you know what you're getting out of him. Unfortunately, it's about 12 to 13 starts at this point in his career. So basically, he's making $1 million a start. If he can ever stay healthy again, I mean, I don't know what his numbers are going to be like for a full season. I can't see him even having 160 innings still in his repertoire anymore. Like that just doesn't seem like something to fit into his bag. But, I mean, you're looking at it, as long as he's healthy, I mean, he's still going to be a solid number 3-4 in that rotation. They're not signing him, obviously, to be the ace when you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto and you got Tyler Glass now to be their 1-2 guys. James Paxton, he'll slide in there nicely. He'll be a great rotation piece until he gets injured.
This just owed today, Nick Kroll from the Cincinnati Reds, GM, president of operations, don't plan to bring Votto back as of now. That's got to be one of those tough statements to literally make out loud. But again, that's why you get paid the big bucks to be in that position of Kroll, right? So thoughts on that. Secondly, where do you see Votto dropping when it's all said and done? Or is he retired?
There's going to be two places. So either goes back to the Cincinnati Reds, depending on how Christian Encarnacion's train starts out the year, or he's going to sign with the Toronto Blue Jays, obviously, because he's a Canadian. The Jays still need a platoon first baseman, if you want to call it that, depending on what they kind of do with a Cavan Biggio and everything like that. Because Cavan, I mean, realistically, he still doesn't have a guaranteed spot right now. It sounds like he's going to be playing a split of second, third base, depending on what Santiago Espinal does. And obviously, Matt Chapman's still out there, but it doesn't sound like the Jays are going to re-sign a Matt Chapman. Yeah, I think Votto, obviously, with Canadian background and everything like that, I could see him signing with the Jays. But the Cincinnati Reds, he's just been a career lifelong Reds player. I think that helps out his legacy, too, and we're looking at it, too. We talked about it in the earlier segment with Joel Maurer getting into the Hall of Fame. Votto's one of those guys that, I mean, he's going to be a fringe Hall of Fame player just based on his career statistics and everything like that. He's one of the best first basemen of this generation. If I was the Cincinnati Reds, I'd try and bring him back on a one-year minimal deal, probably 1 year, $1 million, $2 million, somewhere in that range. But they were pretty much open about it the whole offseason, saying, hey, listen, we think Votto's still a regular full-time first baseman in the MLB, and we're just not going to be able to guarantee him enough bats between the amount of guys that we have. So, I mean, it's going to completely depend on how Christian Encarnacion Strand does to start out the year before the Cincinnati Reds make a move to try and re-sign him.
Well, and we heard all about Votto and his dedication to get back on the field from, when the Reds were hot and just before he came back, right? You heard all his teammates saying how impressed they were, how it's helped their development and understanding what it is to be a professional. Yes, with the Cincinnati Reds, but in the game of baseball, they spoke so highly of him, right? So you're right. Step one, the Reds find somewhere to make it work for both sides. Step two, you're right. The Jays, they need that kind of leadership in that team. We've said it for years. The pieces are there. They just need that one other guy that's going to sit there and say, guys, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to just be honest with you all the time. We got to be playing better, or we got to be accountable, or whatever it is, that true leadership. So exactly right. They're in a good position. They can hold out, I think, or whatever, and that, and explore the other options like they have been doing all along. See if the contract, the desires, the length of them, the numbers of them, dollar value is what I'm speaking of, come into their budget, or they don't. But Joey Votto is not going to break their budget. There's no question about that. So Joey Gallo, 1 year to the Nationals.
Yeah, 1 year, $5 million. This is a purely upside move by the Washington Nationals. Obviously, it's a team that no one's really expected to be in contention this year. You're signing a guy that realistically he'll just be a placeholder until some of their younger kids come up. Obviously, last year, Lane Thomas was basically the main outfielder for the Washington Nationals who produced offensively for him. Joey Gallo, if he's... the Joey Gallo of old, obviously he's got 40 home run potential in him. That's what the Washington Nationals are hoping to get out of him, similar to what they got out of Josh Bell there a few years ago when they acquired him from the Pittsburgh Pirates when they were still trying to stay in contention and still trying to be the beasts of the East in the National League. So I think that this one, obviously, different scenario in the fact that, hey, if he gets off to a hot start, then at least we can trade him by the deadline and get a good return back on him, get a couple young players. I mean, Joey Gallo, obviously, he's got the gold gloves in his back pocket, too, for right field. So he's a guy that can very easily get back to that level if he gets enough playing time. It's a matter of him staying healthy. And unfortunately, Joey Gallo, everybody knows what you're going to get. You're going to get 200 strikeouts, 100 walks, and about 200 average. But if he can ever replicate that, what was it, 2017 or 2018 year with the Texas Rangers, where he started out hitting about 250 with on pace for about 45, 50 home runs that year before he got injured and everything like that, then that's a huge bonus for the Washington Nationals. 1 year, $5 million, you're not breaking the bank by doing that.
No, and like you said, he gives a bit of versatility, right? He gives Meneses a little bit of days off now and again as a young player or whatever at first base, but he can also fill into the outfield as well for them. So it's just a good, solid signing. It's good for him, too, because he is the true three-outcome person player. He's the poster child for that in the MLB. There's no question. Trades. We've heard about it all year. Let's talk Marlins. Lizardo, Edward Cabrera. They going to move those guys this year? Or does it all have to wait on Cease? Or do the teams get tired of Cease? And as we get closer to basically, 3 weeks before pitchers and catchers report, do they make things happen, the Marlins? Do they not? Are they holding out? I can't imagine they're holding out for Cease-like returns. But on the other side of it, I mean, Cabrera, high walk rate.
I mean, to me, here's the way that I look at it, right? If you're the Miami Marlins in this situation, you have a lot of young kids who are pretty promising down in their farm system in terms of pitchers and everything like that. Edward Cabrera, obviously, he's a guy that should get you back a good return. I don't think the Marlins are asking for a Dylan Cease type of return, like you said, in either of those players. Cabrera, yeah, obviously, he's got the walks. He's not the same pitcher as Luzardo. Luzardo's a legitimate number two, in my opinion, man. That guy's dang good pitcher. But I think it depends on how Sixto Sanchez and a couple of those other young kids come out of spring training. If they come out of spring training looking pretty good, then it becomes those other guys more available and they can fill in. And especially you're looking at the Miami Marlins, you know that they still need offensive upside from a lot of different positions. And especially you don't know what the health of a Jazz Chisholm's going to be like for the year, because Jazz Chisholm, obviously, he's probably their best offensive player. But Jazz Chisholm, I mean, if he can ever stay healthy for a full season, then it's a huge bonus for him. But unfortunately, to this point, he hasn't been able to stay healthy for full seasons yet in the major leagues. So I think if I'm the Miami Marlins, realistically, if I get a good return of young positional players with control and I'm looking to trade an Edward Cabrera or a Jesus Luzardo, yeah, I'm pulling that trigger and hoping some of these young kids that I have down in the system can come up and fill in for them in the rotation.
And we're talking trades or whatever and stuff. It's even that has changed the landscapes this year or whatever. And that and I don't necessarily believe that it's organizations putting more emphasis on their own players and keeping them in and not giving them away. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it still leads back to what we've talked about before with what the Dodgers have done this offseason and kind of. To me, and I know a lot of the responses in from all of you out there listening or whatever, and that is the disruption of it all, the deferred contracts and the ongoing parts of that and just signing here and there and everywhere. And so things that are popping up at me are, you know, for example, the Pirates showing interest in Noah Syndergaard. The Angels going out and signing Matt Moore. Like, we're getting guys that are well down the list, the free agent list even. And there's two teams. I mean, the Angels, they just don't have anybody to trade. They don't have players to trade right now or whatever.
They don't.
But Pittsburgh's in a good place to be able to trade for some of them. And like we've talked about, the NL Central is a little bit narrow right now. So
Well, the Angels have Mike Trout to trade. That could restock their farm system a little bit if they ever wanted to do that and make everybody across baseball happy. But, yeah, no, you're looking at it, man, and it's like, yeah, like there's a lot of teams out there just signing bottom-of-the-barrel free agents when you still have those upper echelon free agents available. And I just don't know if they price themselves out. But Dirtbags, we'll be right back here with the final thoughts.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491. Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, give me your final thought.
Yeah, so one of the curtain call questions came in. Our oldest Chapman, the 1 year, $10.5 million with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I want to be a fly on the wall when our oldest Chapman and Andrew McCutchen come face-to-face for the first time as teammates now. Obviously, they have the history with each other back in the days when Andrew McCutchen was one of the best players in the National League with the Pittsburgh Pirates. His first go-around had the dreadlocks and everything like that, and Chapman went up and in on him with, 105 miles an hour and hit him in the shoulder. And you're like, okay, and Chapman did it a few times to Andrew McCutchen, too, where he came up and in and buzzed him back and was kind of all over the place, especially as a young left-handed reliever. Now that they're teammates, I want to know, I'm assuming, obviously, Andrew McCutchen and Aroldis Chapman, they're very experienced veterans at this point in their career. I'm assuming they're just going to be able to hug it out and say, hey, welcome to the team, welcome to Pittsburgh, thanks for coming, that type of deal. But yeah, I just think it'll be interesting to see how their chemistry is as teammates. Like I said, McCutchen, he's obviously a veteran guy. He knows what he's doing. He's not going to be an idiot. But it's still like, man, this guy almost killed me on multiple occasions, and now he's my teammate. I'm assuming it'll be an interesting first conversation, and I would love to hear what the heck they have to say about it. Because especially when you're looking at Andrew McCutchen being the face of the Pittsburgh Pirates for, I'd say, the past, 10 years at least, basically, outside of his couple of stints in different locations. But you're looking at it, man. That'll be an interesting first conversation.
Team first. Let bygones be bygones. Team first, man. So Dirtbags, can't thank you enough for listening, being a part of the show. You know we do it for you. We cannot do it without you. We love it. We live it. We breathe it. We die it every week with you, every day with you. Again, reach out to us, contact us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dirtbag Baseball Nation. Stay up to date. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Dirtbag Baseball Nation. Stay up to date with videos that we have, and we'll go from there. So again, can't thank the guys over at Rip Grip Pro enough for being a part of the show, believing in us, sponsoring. If you are interested in having some advertisements on and promoting a product on here, contact me, Kirk, at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. Happy to talk about it, steer you in the right direction, get you moving, get you advertising, get you promoting for sure, because that's what it's all about, trying to grow the game the best way we can. So, and of course, if you're looking for the rope trainer, head on over to our website at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. We've got all our apparel over there as well. Hook yourself up and we'll go from there. So, as always, Dirtbags, have a great week wherever you are out there in the world, playing, coaching, parenting, fan, whatever it is. But it is that time, unfortunately. It's time to get up, get after it, get dirty. Nolan, do what you do.
Hey, thanks for listening once again, Dirtbags. Stay tuned because it's going to be a hell of a ride.